You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Thank God it's Wednesday. Hump day already. Short week, perhaps, for some of you, with Monday being a holiday. I thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day here today on this Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. You're going to hear the sermon now I just preached on Sunday, and it's the last in this series looking at Moses. We've been doing a character study on Moses, and this is the last week. This sermon is entitled, Moses Walks to His Own Funeral. And as the Bible says, his eyes weren't dim, and his natural, he still had all of his strength. We're going to look at what went wrong with Moses. What terrible sin did he commit that God banned him entry into the earthly promised land? Certainly not the heavenly one. So sin won't keep us out. Unbelief is what keeps you out of the heavenly homeland, not sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not based on what kind of day you had. It's based on the cross. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, salvation is, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. Unbelief is what kept the Jews out, and unbelief is what will keep you and me out as well. So Moses wasn't able to enter the earthly promised land where the Jews were going. His assistant, Joshua, had to do that. We're going to look at what went wrong today with Moses. Well, it's Wednesday. We are not having services for the month of September. We'll be back at first week in October, and I'll be back teaching the book of Galatians verse by verse. But we are taking the month of September off, going to have a little break. Little bit of rest here for this last month, or for this month of September. We'll be back at it strong again in October. We'd love to see you for our Wednesday night service. Love to see you for our Sunday morning service as well. My sermon this week is entitled The Parable of the Talents. And the Lord's entrusted you and me with some of his stuff. Talents has a double meaning, right? In the Bible, it was a measure of weight. 75 pounds, or talents of silver, talents of gold. You and I also have a talent. This I know is the Lord Jesus has given us a talent, and he's gone away on a far journey, and he's coming back again. And when he comes back, you and I are going to have to give an account for what we've done with what he's given us. That is my sermon this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Matter of fact, I will let this opening play here Wednesday and Thursday. Sunday morning at 10:30, you are invited. We would love to see you here at Island Community Church. Okay, this is either part one or part two, depending on if this is Wednesday or Thursday. Moses walks to his own funeral. Now, don't miss next week's sermon either. Next week, my sermon is the parable of the talents. We're going to look at how the Lord Jesus has given everyone of his stuff, including money and talents. And he says, go out here and do business until I return. And then when I return, then everyone can give an account for what they've done with what I've given you. So that's my sermon. And after the sermon, we're going to have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do.
one of those men and brethren, what shall we do moments. So to see where we can take the church next. We believe, that's great. What do we do from here? Where do we go from here? How can I serve him better with the gifts that he has given me and the talents he's given me? That'll be next Sunday. Okay, so everyone's got one of these. We're good to go then. Now, this is our last week looking at this life of Moses. Now, today I want to look at what went wrong and what serious thing Moses could have done to keep him from entering the promised land after all that he had done, after all the positive things that he had done. What could this guy have done to get in so much trouble like this? Now, it all goes back to a rock. Our main scripture today is actually in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's on the handout as well if you don't have a Bible. And pardon me, too, I'm still trying to work through the end of this cold that I think most people have. If I lose my voice, too bad. We'll work through it, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, this is Paul speaking of what we're about to look at here. I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, which was what, by the way? Right, manna. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that, look what it says, spiritual rock. Meaning there's more to this understanding than just coming up and hitting a rock. There's a spiritual understanding is what the Holy Spirit's trying to show us here. That's why it says they drank the spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Remember that today as we move on here in this sermon. The rock is Christ. That rock was Christ. So now, we know what this means before we even look at it and get to it here coming up here this morning. Now, let's turn back to the second book of the Bible, Exodus and chapter 14. That's where we're going to get started here now. Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 26. Exodus 14, 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So once again, we see God delivers either out of or through tribulation. Isn't that right? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Be it in a fiery furnace, or be it in a lion's den, or being out here in the world living with 3.5 years of no water. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. There you have it. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, maybe not. But that would suffice for you, wouldn't it? I mean, good gosh, what other sign would you need to understand that God is for you and on your side other than this? I mean, these guys had more of God than we could ever hope and dream for in our lives. Question: if God parted the Atlantic Ocean, enabling you to drive your Jeep Wrangler all the way to England without putting it in four-wheel drive, Bill, is that something that you personally would remember or not? Is that something you would hold on to? Is that something you would tell your grandchildren? You know, I can hear old gramps now, right? Walking around here on the cane. Oh, sonny boy. Let me tell you the day I drove all the way to England from Florida. Is that something you might possibly remember? I mean, with all my faults, I certainly hope if I drove to England in June that I wouldn't be blaspheming God alongside all the naysayers and scoffers by the 4th of July. And Moses expected the same. I mean, come on, people. Can't you guys go 1 month without blaspheming God and not remembering that God is for you and on your side? Hear me now. A lack of faith just turns God's stomach more than anything. Matter of fact, it kind of turns my stomach as well. A lack of faith. If there's ever a sin not to commit, it would be that. A lifestyle of a dead fish. You ever shake hands with a dead fish before? Having a lifestyle of a clammy old dead fish with no faith at all. Now, Moses had a short fuse, and he had anger issues. Now, during one of these plagues, Moses in anger stormed out of a meeting with Pharaoh, and he says, "This is the last time you're ever going to see my face." When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he was so mad that they had made themselves an idol and had made themselves another god. Can you imagine that? I mean, Moses is just right down the street for the love of Pete. I mean, you're right here, and it's like Moses over here at this little drive-through restaurant, right down the street. You can hear God thunder, and you're over here making another god. He got so mad at that, the Bible says that he smashed the two tablets. And he was furious, costing him a mint on eBay, I'm sure. I mean, imagine what he could have got for them. So Moses had anger issues. And those anger issues are going to cost him dearly here today. Sometimes in a fit of rage, we can do things that we don't not mean to do. And depending on the seriousness, can get us into a world of trouble or worse. Can I get an amen to that? And then said something or did something you quickly regretted? Now, I'll drop this question on you here this morning. Then we'll move on. Why did God regard Moses' anger issues different than he regards yours? Now, after the parting of the Red Sea, we read in Exodus chapter 17. Let's flip to chapter 17. The Jews are thirsty now. Chapter 17, verse 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel, they set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin. Who would want to live in that place? Maybe that's why it's a wilderness. I mean, that's like living in Moab, Utah. Really? Moab? You'd think they could come up with a better name than that, right? I mean, that's like sending your kid to Sodom Elementary. I mean, would you send your kid to Sodom Elementary and have the bumper sticker on your car? My kid's an honor student at Sodom Elementary. So they set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped there in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "What are you asking me for? What am I, the Zephyr Hills man?" All right, Moses says, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So can you beat that? After all that they had seen, like driving from Merritt Island to London, where there used to be water, and then squawking like this, after all that they had seen. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Well, what do I do with these people? They're ready to kill me or stone me." You know, sometimes I feel for Moses. He didn't ask for any of this. It's astounding to me, this horrendous lack of faith. And I think it's astounding to Moses. I mean, God just parted the Red Sea. It's in your rearview mirror. Don't you trust him to come through in your life? How about you now? Let me ask you the same question. All that God has done for you in your life, don't you trust him? After all that he's done? I mean, I could venture to say you've got something these guys never had. Hello, you've got the Word of God. You've got a Bible that says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." What do I do with that? You see, I'm not going to be so quick to condemn these Jews. The right question, as we're going to find out, is it I, Lord? Here we go again. We're back to that, right? We're pointing fingers. Oh, look at these Jews. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And really the question is, my Bible says I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that saved me. I've got more, and not only that, I might not have a cloud, but I've got something they don't have. I've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me. There is less excuse for me than they had. They have a cloud. I've got God inside of me. I've got the completed Word of God that says, "I am convinced that neither death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor death, nor life, nor any created thing can separate me from the love of God that is in that man right there." Might not have a cloud, but I've got that, and you can't take that from me. Can't take that. So maybe they're not all that bad after all. Maybe I just got to keep looking in the mirror. Now, while in the meantime, we also has a reminder that God loves us so much that he sent his son down here to planet Earth to die on the cross and take your place because God loves you. My question again is, do you trust him like that? God loves you on your all-time worst day. Not just because it's Sunday and you have your church clothes on. He loves you, loved you, loves you, and will love you on your worst day. Let's not forget that. Let's not have that in our rear view mirror. Let's keep the love of God front and center, right in front of us at all times. God's love for you is based on his character, not on your performance. I used to take that personal and think it was on my performance. Well, if I had a good week and did this or that, if I jumped through this hoop, if I got through a week without sinning and doing something bad or whatever, I think that God would make me a better preacher and I'd do a better job on Sunday. I'd get more prayers answered or this and that and this and that. And God doesn't love me based on my performance. It's based on his character. Because the Bible says that God is love. That's his character. It's love. He loves me so much that he sent his son down to die on the cross in Paul Esposito's place. I'm going to keep that front and center. Next time I doubt, or next time that old accuser of the brethren starts. All right, now, verse 5. This first time, Moses is going to do it right. He's going to do it God's way. Remember, we're looking at the rock. Right? The spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So, we're in the same chapter, Exodus 17, verse 5. Now the Lord said to Moses, let me make sure we are in the right place, right? This is Exodus 17, right? And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So, life-giving water, a stream in the desert. God said, I will stand on the rock. This also represents, remember, this rock that followed them, the rock was Christ. This represents Jesus bearing the punishment for the people's sins. Striking the rock. It's a spiritual picture of the Son of God being smitten by God. He strikes the rock, and that rock was Christ. And out of the rock flows living waters. And again, remember what the Apostle Paul wrote where we just started today. They all drank that same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock's a picture of Christ. The rock here has been smitten or struck. Out of the rock flows life-giving water. Strike the rock, and out comes life. That's the word picture, right? Strike the rock. That rock is Christ. Strike the rock, and out comes life-giving water. All right, so far so good for Moses, right? Now let's turn to the third book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, in chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Easy turn, right? Next book over. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Everyone with me. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, they came into the wilderness of Zin. Now it's Zin. In the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now remember from the first sermon, remember that Miriam was Moses' older sister. If you guys remember that Miriam arranged for her mother to take care of Moses when he was born, remember? All right, verse 2. Numbers chapter 20, verse 2, it says, now there was no water. Here we go again. There was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Look what people are willing to do when there's no water. I mean, what is it about water or the lack thereof that turns people into evil cretins who will sell their own soul to the devil? Or we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, will make them boil and eat their own children. I mean, how prophetic is the picture of water, it seems, right? I mean, after all they've been through, here we go again. Verse 3, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord. Now here come the wise. Look at the wise. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness so that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water here to drink. You know something, church family? I believe that water is very, very prophetic in the Bible. I mean, look what happens to people. Look what they're willing to do when there isn't any water. Now, this is the second time we see people lose their faith in God because they were thirsty. Listen to this verse. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Speaking of someday soon in the future. The Bible says, I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Uh-oh. There goes your job, Captain Jim. But this is why Captain Jim is a professional boat captain, charter captain. But God's been working on Jim all along. Because you come here every week, you sit under the word of God. This is why God makes your life difficult, so that when times like this come, you're going to look at your wife, you see, and you're going to go like this. He's going to wink at his wife.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
FM, WMIE Radio, today's Modern Worship, has an official Facebook page. You can check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment as well, and follow us on 91.5 FM, WMIE, today's Modern Worship.